Good morning, my friends. This is Missionary James Robinette with Mission East Africa, Uganda. And by the gracious will of the Lord, it is my real pleasure to look to the scripture with you once again this Lord's Day morning as we continue to look to the scripture and ask the question, how do I know if I am blessed? That is, what is it to be blessed by God? How can I determine if God's blessing is upon me and if his blessings are in my life? Praise the Lord. And so today, dear friends, we're going to begin in Matthew chapter 23. Please turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 23, and we'll begin at verse 25 in just a moment, asking God for wisdom and grace soon as we seek to understand this really vital and critical issue. That is, we want to understand how God blesses, what we can reasonably expect from God, and how it is that we can understand God and his ways with us, ultimately to understand much better what salvation is as a gift of God and how it is that God treats us, blesses us as believers. My friends, our contact number is 0782-652-143, and you can learn more about our mission at www.missionafricajk.net. That's www.missionafricajk.net. Praise the Lord. And so let us pray, dear friends. Our Father in heaven, we cry out to you for grace. We do pray for understanding, for truth, that we might really understand this issue, that we might really have light and see how it is that by your glorious nature in your work for us, you bless people who believe in you. And so we pray, Lord, for understanding, and we cry out for wisdom. We ask that you would have your glory in this time as we look to the Word of God, and that our hearts will be changed, our lives will be helped as we gain precious knowledge from you. Keep us from pride, but humble us before you, under your mighty hand, and through the Word of God, through the truth that we receive now. Have your glory in these things and help your people, Lord. Bless them with true blessings. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So, friends, hear the word of the Lord in Matthew chapter 23, beginning in verse 25. I'll read two verses through 26. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Praise the Lord. May the Lord add his blessings to the Word of God. And so, my friends, we talked last Lord's Day about this subject, how do I know that I am blessed by God? And we began last Lord's Day in Psalm 112. We also mentioned Matthew chapter 5. In fact, I read verses 1 through 11. And we said that we see God's promise of very clear temporal blessings, that is, if you will, physical blessings, blessings from God that would meet the physical needs of the people of Israel. And we also said, as we looked at Matthew chapter 5, that we see a difference in the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ in verses 1 through 11, in that Jesus does not mention directly temporal or physical blessings. But in the teaching of Jesus, we find a clear focus upon character, the spiritual blessings that come, the character that the grace of God brings about, and the condition of the heart. The Lord speaks about the blessing that comes to a person and changes their hearts. And so he speaks clearly and directly to the heart of people and speaks of the blessing that comes spiritually to us that changes our entire lives, if you will, spiritual blessings. And we also mentioned last Lord's Day that in order of priority and importance, spiritual blessings, that is, the grace of God, is first. Temporal blessings, in a sense, are secondary. It's not that we don't have temporal or physical needs. God does deal and bless in that regard. But our first and greatest need, as Jesus teaches us, is to know God, to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all other really secondary or lesser things, if you will be added to us. And that's simply because the spiritual blessings of God deal with our eternal destiny, the condition of eternal life or death, whereas many times the temporal or physical blessings are conditions that deal with these temporary aspects of life that will end. The spiritual generally deals with the eternal, and generally the temporal blessings are by nature temporary, only for a while. Praise God. And we also mentioned last Lord's Day that we can understand the blessings that Christ teaches and preaches about in Matthew chapter 5 as we contrast the curses of the Lord Jesus Christ that we find in Matthew chapter 23. His curses in Matthew 23, and I read for you verses 25 and 26 just a moment ago, which are really his curses upon the false scribes and Pharisees that he calls hypocrites, are such that that he curses their ungodly character. He tells us there in verse 25 of Matthew 23, for instance, that their focus is definitely off. They are concerned about putting on a good appearance, that is, cleansing the outside of the cup and dish, but they are not concerned about the heart, the real inner condition of their being. That is, they are full of extortion and self-indulgence or unrighteousness. And so they clean up the outside. They appear to be right, but inside they are very wrong. They are unsaved men, unbelieving men. Their hearts are not purified by faith. He calls them a blind Pharisee there in verse 26 and calls for them to cleanse the inside of the cup. That is, by true faith in Him, to be made pure in heart so that the outside might also be clean. And so He calls them to an inner spiritual cleansing, forgiveness of sins. He calls them to be born again, in a sense. He is calling them to faith. He is calling them to trust in Him and to see their inner corruption and to turn from it. Praise God. And so, as we see His curses in Matthew 23, we better understand the blessings of Christ in Matthew chapter 5 in verses 1 through 11. And so we want to look at these verses now. Let me read Matthew chapter 5, 1 through 11 for you, the New King James Version. And seeing the multitudes, He went up on a mountain, and when He was seated, His disciples came to Him. Then He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Praise God. And I was recently taught by a friend of mine, a fellow minister, that the correct pronunciation of the word we find there in verse 3 that I have pronounced as blessed is actually blessed. And so it's a long habit of mine to pronounce this word blessed, but the correct pronunciation is blessed. I'll have to remember that and correctly pronounce the word blessed in the future as God enables me to. And so here, Jesus, in this great sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, begins his teaching of how it is that we may be right with God and what true blessing is by describing for us in this section of verses. We call it the Beatitudes, which is a word that really means blessings. He teaches us what it means to be blessed. And note that he deals entirely in this section of verses with spiritual blessings, the issues of godly character. And he describes for us the heart, the character of a man who has been saved by God's precious grace. Praise God. And so obviously, as we look through this sermon, we see the Lord's focus on calling men to have a right heart with God, calling men to receive this greatest of blessings, to be saved, to be born again of God. And very quickly today, let's look at these verses and just understand a bit better what the Lord is actually saying as he describes for us the character of a man who is blessed by God, the character of a man who is saved by God. In verse 3, we see that the saved man is blessed, Jesus says, to have a heart in this way. The heart is poor. He is poor in spirit. And he says the blessing to the man who is poor in spirit is that his kingdom is the kingdom of heaven, or if you will, the kingdom of God. And so when God saves us, we receive this heart that is likened to a poor heart, a poor spirit, and it means simply that we become very needy. God's grace shines the light of the glorious truth of God into our hearts, and we see our absolute need of God. We see that we are not sufficient in ourselves, that we are utterly dependent upon God, that we cannot stand without God, that God is our creator. He has made us in this way. As creatures, we are absolutely dependent upon God in every possible respect. And so we see that we are spiritually poor or impoverished. And the blessing of this condition, let me add simply too, that we would probably not think of poverty in any sense as being a blessing, but Jesus declares to us that spiritual poverty, or poverty of spirit, if you will, is indeed a blessing. The man who is impoverished spiritually shall live forever in the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven belongs to him. It is given to him. Praise God. And so proud, self-sufficient, independent men are humbled and become aware of their great need of God and his marvelous grace, and become impoverished in spirit and are saved, and they shall receive the kingdom of heaven. And so this is a blessing, Jesus says, to be poor in spirit. Next, verse 4, he says, blessed are those who mourn. Again, normally we wouldn't associate sadness with happiness. Spiritual happiness is theirs who mourn for their sin, for the evil that's in the world, for the evil that's in others, in them. When we are blessed by God's grace, our character is changed, our heart is changed, we see evil in a greater capacity for what it is, and we are saddened by this. And so to be saddened by evil and sin is to be made happy by God spiritually. He says, those who mourn shall be comforted. Next, in verse 5, he speaks of the blessing that belongs to the meek. Again, not the proud man, but the meek, the humble man who has been given the ability by God to control themselves. This really speaks of the great spiritual strength that believers have. And this phrase is really communicating the truth that a very powerful animal, perhaps a horse, a stallion, is controlled, this great power under control, if you will, in such a way that the power is held together. There's great self-control that God gives through His Spirit to the human heart, and this is a blessing Jesus has. He frees us from our slavery to sin. That is, before He blesses us with His Holy Spirit, we are called by Scripture slaves of sin. We do the bidding of our Father. We have no real control to resist Him. We must do what He tells us to do. But when God saves us, we are blessed and we come under His control. And we are enabled, because we become slaves of Christ, to obey God from the heart and to turn from sin. We are empowered to resist the devil, to resist sin in others, and to resist sin that is within us. And so we are self-controlled. This is a fruit of the Spirit also, we might add. Those who are self-controlled in this way will inherit the earth. Next, Jesus tells us that spiritual blessing, happiness, comes to those who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness. Again, interesting, isn't it, that we contrast what we would normally associate as non-blessings, being hungry and thirsty, with blessing. And that's what we find in the Beatitudes. We see this contrast. Here, to be hungry and thirsty, not in a physical sense, but in a spiritual sense, for righteousness. First of all, to be right with God, to be hungry and thirsty, to be right with God, and to be right before God, living a righteous life, loving God, loving our neighbor, in such a way that we have this strong desire, likened to hunger and thirst, Jesus says, reflects the blessing that God has bestowed upon us. Again, this is seen in a person's life through their godly character. They are righteous. They obey God, for they shall be filled. And so if you hunger for God, if you're thirsty for Christ, His promise is you are blessed. He will fill you with His blessings and goodness. Verse 7, blessed are the merciful when you show mercy. And obviously here, this is a great truth. This is a wonderful truth. It blesses our hearts because we have experienced the mercy of God. And we would all say without reservation that the mercies of God bring blessing to us. The curses of God, the punishment, the condemnation of God, does not bring spiritual happiness, does not bring happiness to us, but the wonderful mercy of God in His abundant love and grace, then it is that we are blessed and we obtain mercy from God. The merciful shall be blessed to receive mercy from God. And so Christ calls us to show this marvelous mercy of God to others as we have obtained mercy from God. The blessing of mercy is to be shown to others, and so as we do to others, God will do to us. Find there in verse 8 that the blessed are pure in heart. That is, their hearts are purified by faith, as we see in another verse in the Bible. And so the man who believes is blessed, made happy, and his heart of faith, if you will, is going to be reflected in his godly actions, his godly thoughts, and his carrying himself in obedience before God. The blessed who are pure in heart shall see God, shall be present with God. Amen. Praise God. And then we find in verse 9 that peacemakers, those who seek peace first with God and with others, are called and shall be called the sons of God. Praise the Lord. Spiritual happiness results in a disposition to be at peace with God and to be at peace with others. Verse 10, we are blessed, he says, when we are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Now again, we wouldn't normally associate persecution or ill treatment by others as a good, as a blessing. But Jesus indeed tells us it is. He says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And so when we love God truly, when our hearts are set on God and we serve God and we speak for God, when we show God's reality in our lives, we are often persecuted because of this righteousness' sake, because we have done the right thing before God and others. And so the evil about us, the evil in the world, resists the truth about God and persecutes the man who believes in God, who is blessed by God. And wonderfully, though, when we are mistreated by others for the kingdom's sake, then we must know, Jesus tells us also there in verses 11 and 12 in very emphatic language, that we are the sons of God and we are of the kingdom of heaven. Praise God. Praise God. Our temporary sufferings and struggles that we endure now for the kingdom's sake will give way to eternal blessings with no trouble forever and ever with God. So that Jesus calls us in verses 11 and 12 to rejoice. In fact, in his wonderfully colorful language, he calls us to jump for joy, if you will, to rejoice exceedingly, to be exceedingly glad, he says there in verse 12, because our reward is great in heaven. The consequence of believing in God now, of being blessed in these spiritual ways, is that we will receive a great reward in heaven. Praise God. And so he calls us simply to be happy when we are mistreated by others for the kingdom's sake. He says this is exactly how the prophets before were treated. And as we see, the blessed man Jesus, the only blessed man Jesus, suffered the greatest of persecutions and counted it all joy as he looked to the cross, joy for the sake of our salvation that would come through his sufferings and death for us and through his rising again for our justification. Amen. And so these are the characteristics of a blessed man. These are the issues of character that we see in a man who is blessed by God. And so if we would know if we are blessed or not by God, we must look to our hearts, examine ourselves, and see if these blessings, these characteristics are true of us, if they are true of our hearts. And if this is true of us because of the work of God and his grace, then we can see that indeed we are blessed by God. Praise God. And so, my friends, our time is gone today. We want to continue in this short sermon series next week and look at a slightly different issue, though an issue that is connected to what we've just been talking about. And so then we'll look at the issue of the fact that God indeed does bless us in both aspects. That is, he blesses us physically or temporally, and as we have seen today very clearly, indeed he does bless us spiritually. He brings his good to bear upon both aspects of our being. We are physical creatures, we are also spiritual creatures. Amen. Praise God. And so let us pray now. Father, thank you for your marvelous grace. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for these great truths and the very preaching of Jesus, the very teaching of the Son of God. about what it means to be truly blessed. And we thank you, Lord, that as we examine our hearts, we can see the blessings of God upon us. That is, that you have given us a heart like this blessed man. We see that you bless us with godly character, that we desire you, Lord, so that we hunger and thirst for you. And we see that you have purified our hearts by faith, that we truly trust in you. We long to please you. We desire that we might always do right in your sight. We repent of our sin, of our breaking of your law. We repent of the evil that we commit and think and say. And so, God, we give you praise that in your great wisdom you have spoken to us in such a beautiful way in the Beatitudes, and in such a marvelously revealing way about what it means to be truly blessed by God. And so I pray, Lord, that you will come and bless my listeners with these true blessings that Jesus declares are indeed the very blessings of the Almighty upon a person. Bless them that they might be meek, pure in heart, hunger and thirst for righteousness. Bless them, Lord, that they might be merciful, that they might have such a Christ-like loving heart that they would declare your truth and act for you and be persecuted for righteousness' sake. And then, Lord, fill their hearts to overflowing that they might leap for joy because they are the sons of God and theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. Bless them with meekness that they might mourn for sin. Bless them that they may see you, Lord. And we just thank you for the truth. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And so, my friends, until next Lord's Day morning, may the Lord bless you.